الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected lovers of Sahaba رضي الله عنهم, the Sahabi we are about to learn about is one of the products of the efforts of Mus'ab bin Umair رضي الله تعالى عنه in Medina Munawwara. He was one of the famous poets of his time, to such an extent that even when he came with Mus'ab radiallahu anhu to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the bay'ah and the meeting at Aqaba with the other sahaba radiallahu anhum, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when this sahabi was being introduced to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his name being Ka'ab, Allah's Nabi said, "Oh, the famous poet. So he says, "I was happy that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew me by my name." Meaning, he was a poet of reputable status at that time. And poetry was actually the media of that time. So this sahabi was none other than Ka'ab bin Malik. Ka'ab bin Malik bin Abi Ka'ab, who is Amr ibn al-Qayn ibn al-Sawad ibn Ghanm ibn Ka'b ibn Salimah ibn Sa'd ibn Ali al-Ansari al-Khazraji radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. From the initial stages of Islam in Medina Munawwara, he remained firm on Allah's deen, and he was with his brothers from the Ansar defending the deen of Allah ta'ala. It was during the Bay'ah of Aqaba where he came to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from there and then he participated in Allah's deen, and he utilized all his resources in defending Allah Ta'ala's deen. At that time, his prolific poetry he would use to render and defend the deen of Allah Ta'ala. And there's so many poems of his that was famous. And poetry was actually an art even today. But at that time, it was something revered and followed by one and all. The famous poets of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time were Ka'ab bin Malik. He became part and parcel of them. And Hassan bin Thabit and Abdullah bin Rawaha. And these were from the Ansar radiallahu ta'ala anhum. One famous poem at that time of Ka'ab radiallahu anhu in the initial stages, he renders, أَلَا أَيُّهَا ذَا السَّائِلِي أَنْ عَشِيرَتِي هَلُمَّ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْمَكَارِمِ وَالْفَخْرِ أَنَا ابْنُ مُبَارِ الرِّيحِ عَمْرِ بْنِ عَامِرِي نَمُتُّ إِلَىٰ قَحْطَانَ فِي سَالِفِ الدَّهْرِي نَصَرْنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِذْ حَلَّ وَسْطَنَا بِبِيضِ الْيَمَانِي الْمُثَقَّفَةِ السُّمْرِي. Where he speaks of how, who's he from, his family, and then he says that we are there to make nusrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah's Nabi came to stay amongst us. Because after the Bay'ah of Aqaba, where the Sahaba who was 70 met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam under the supervision of Mus'ab radiallahu anhu, and then they requested Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come to Medina, and that we will welcome you, O Nabi of Allah. And Allah instructed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now it's time to leave Makkah and go to Medina Munawwara. Then the famous event of Hijrah took place. Anyway, in the Medinan period, as they arrived in Medina Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam formulated this pact of brotherhood between Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah give us tawfiq, it's Ramadan, let's have love for our brothers. Allah bless us in our country, we have people, we are a diverse community of people from every country of the world. Let's love our brothers for Allah's sake. When we meet our brothers, no matter what his nationality, what his color, what his creed, what his trade, what his faculty, greet him with salam, with a smile, for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. This is a great sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created brotherhood between Ka'ab radiallahu anhu from the Ansar and Talha bin Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu from the Muhajirin. Anyway, from the initial stages, Ka'ab radiallahu anhu participated in all the expeditions besides Badr. He speaks of this. He says, Badr, no one was reprimanded for being absent in Badr, But it was not of my fortune to be part and parcel of that. He says, but I do appreciate Allah for tawfiq, that He afforded me the opportunity to be part and parcel of Aqaba. He says, Aqaba was also important, like Badr is important. Not there physically in Badr, but his commentary on Badr is famous, where he renders it in poetry. عَجِبْتُ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ قَادِرُ عَلَى مَا أَرَادَ لَيْسَ لِلَّهِ قَاهِرُ قَضَى يَوْمَ بَدْرٍ أَن نُلَاقِيَ مَعْشَرًا بَغَوْ وَسَبِيلُ اللَّهِ بِالنَّاسِ جَائِرُ فَلَمَّا لَقِيْنَاهُمْ وَكُلُّ مُجَاهِدٍ لِأَصْحَابِهِ مُسْتَبْسِلُ النَّفْسِ صَابِرُ فَكُبَّ أَبُو جَهْلٍ صَرِيعًا لِوَجْهِهِ وَعُتْبَةُ قَدْ غَادَرَتْهُ وَهُوَ عَاثِرُ وَشَيْبَةُ وَالتَّيْمِيُّ غَادَرَتْ فِي الْوَغَى وَمَا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا بِذِي العرش كافر فأمسوا وقود النار في مستقرها وكل كفور في جهنم صائر. He comments on Badr, he comments on Uhud. Just to share something important, you know, it's important for us to understand as much as possible and aspire to learn more and more of the Quran Kareem, the Kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. If we want to listen to the commentary of Quran on the Battle of Badr, we have to study Suratul Anfal. We want to listen to the commentary of Quran in regards the battle of Uhud. We study Surah Al-Imran. Al-Imran. And then like that, certain chapters of the Quran discuss certain events and expeditions in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Like the detail of the battle of Tabuk and the temperaments of people at that time is detailed in the Surah Tawbah. To Uhud, there is poetry recorded by historians from Ka'ab radiallahu anhu. But in Badr, he presented poetry, he wasn't physically a participant. But in Uhud, he was part and parcel. And there's some speciality of him in Uhud. Because in Uhud, as the Muslims were in the battlefield, and the Muslims were then in victory, but there was a mistake that happened by the archers who had left their position that was designated to them by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of a misunderstanding. And Allah give us tawfiq, we learn the importance of following and abiding by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's instructions. Anyway, then the non-Muslims at that time found that flank unguarded and they attacked the Muslims from the rear, and then there was really mayhem and turmoil. Muslims were surrounded, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life was endangered. And then there was rumors that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, and Muslims were shocked. Anyway, afterwards, Sahaba realized Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is fine, but he was silent. And the first one to recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was none other than our hero in this incident, is Ka'b radiallahu anhu. Ka'b radiallahu anhu says that لَمَّا انْكَسَفَ النَّاسُ يَوْمَ أُحُدْ كُنْتُ أَوَّلَ مَنْ عَرَفَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I was the first to recognize Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And then I informed the believers that he is well, sawiyan, and he is fine. And then Allah's Nabi صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ indicated to him, do not inform anyone, just keep it silent. So it was Ka'b radiallahu anhu who recognized Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ first, and among the first to recognize him to be okay and well and preserved were Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu, as reported by Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri rahimahullah, Zubair ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu, Talha bin Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, Abu Dujana radiallahu anhu, Sahal bin Hunayf radiallahu ta'ala anhum. These Sahaba recognized Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they rushed to preserve and protect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the battle of Uhud, Ka'ab radiallahu anhu commented on this battle with his poetry, of course. And then he also rendered poetry called Risa. And this is poetry in regards to mourning someone's death, feeling sad over the demise of someone. And especially Hamza radiallahu anhu, that caused so much of grief to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This, his demise caused pain to the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Ka'b radiallahu anhu renders in 16 verses of poetry this sad scene where Hamza radiallahu anhu passed away. Among the words he says, بَكَتْ عَيْنِي وَحُقَّ لَهَا بُكَاهَا وَمَا يُغْنِي الْبُكَاءُ وَلَا الْعَوِيلُ عَلَىٰ أَسَدِ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ أَسَدِ الْإِلَهِ غَدَا تَقَالُ أَحَمْزَةُ ذَاكُمُ الرَّجُلُ الْقَتِيلُ. He says, my eyes weep, and why shouldn't it? Even though crying cannot bring back the deceased, but it grieves over the lion of Allah. When they all said, is that Hamza? Is that Hamza who was killed like that? This was among the words of Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. One of the famous expeditions that took place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this Sahabi Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is also greatly responsible for narrating these reports, is the Battle of Tabuk. It's one of the last expeditions during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during his life in this transitory world, before he departed from this transitory world, was that of Tabuk. And as I mentioned earlier, the details of this is in Surah At-Tawbah. And it's quite an amazing chapter of the Qur'an Kareem that was revealed in the latter portion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's worldly life. And I encourage one and all to read the translation of these chapters and this chapter. It discusses a lot of the habits of the munafiqeen, certain kinds of hypocritical qualities that Allah Ta'ala dislikes. Anyway, at this time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Sahaba radiallahu anhum to prepare for this expedition. And what prompted this was the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received news from traders who came from the Roman Empire, areas under the Roman colony, who were colonized by the Romans in Sham and so forth. These traders informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the plans of Hiraqal. And they had been planning to invade Medina Munawwara. And there were symptoms of that in Medina as well, where they were communicating with certain people inside Medina who were munafiqeen, hypocrites, who were building for them a quarters, a center, from which they would be able to attack Islam and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that, they had prepared their army of 40,000 strong and departed from their region to go and invade Medina Munawwara. As soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got this news, he gathered Sahaba radiallahu anhum and encouraged them to spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala. There is quite interesting incidents that happened at that time. Sahaba radiallahu anhum were ready to give in the path of Allah, present in Allah Ta'ala's path, contributing. As we know, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu gave every last valuable, every last penny in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Everything he gave in Allah Ta'ala's way. Everything he owned. When Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, what did you leave behind for your family? He said, I left Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for them. What yaqeen and conviction. Then Umar radiallahu anhu brought half of everything he owned. Uthman radiallahu anhu contributed so much. Everyone tried their best to contribute. This was during this battle of Tabuk. There was one youngster in the masjid whose name was Umair ibn Sa'd, who was so affected by the environment of giving for Allah. Allah give us tawfiq to aspire to give for Allah's sake. He goes home and speaks to someone close to him, a man married to his mother, meaning his stepfather. Umair was affected by this environment and he goes home to encourage his stepfather, Julas, that why don't you also be part and parcel? And he encouraged him that this Sahabi radiallahu anhu did this, this Sahabi did that. Even the Sahabi who was crippled, he also presented what he could. The Sahabi who didn't own much, whatever little he could contribute, he presented for Allah's sake. Why don't we also do the same? In that, this individual, Julas, had an utterance that took him out of Islam at that moment. We learn from here how careful we have to be in regards our utterances. Even in Ramadan, think before we speak, ponder, analyze, and then we should say, and then we should speak. Otherwise what we say can never be pulled back. Anyway, he said that don't tell me this about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because it's all not true, whatever he is saying. A'udhu Billah. This youngster was in a predicament. He goes to inform Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was upset by the statement of Julas. And he summons Julas and questioned him. Is this your utterance? Julas negated and denied. In that there was confusion now. Who is correct? Who is speaking the truth? The young boy or his stepfather? And now there were some thoughts amongst the others that this boy is such a good little boy. He's in the masjid all the time. He couldn't be lying. Others would felt that why is he being so ungrateful to Julas, who's so good to him? In that the verses of Quran were revealed in the chapter of Tawbah, wherein Allah says, I recite after A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. يَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ مَا قَالُوا وَلَقَدْ قَالُوا كَلِمَةَ الْكُفْرِ وَكَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِسْلَامِهِمْ وَهَمُّوا بِمَا لَمْ يَنَالُوا إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَاتِ. That they take oath in Allah's name that they didn't make such utterances. But they had uttered the statements of kufr after their iman. So Allah Ta'ala save us. And in that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam applauded this boy for his loyalty towards Allah's deen and congratulated him that these verses of Quran were revealed in his defense. And Allah's Nabi turned to Julas, who sincerely repented. And as a sign of his, what's a sign of his repentance was, he was very good to Umair after that. And always would appreciate that it was through you that I left nifaq and became a sincere person. And from then we respect Julas as well. So we will say Julas radiallahu anhu, because he became a very great sahabi after that, because of his loyalty and sincerity. In that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged everyone to participate. There were certain people who were from the munafiqeen who were not ready to come out, and they were complaining because it was a time that the weather was very, very hot, scorching. And the fruit of Medina were ripe. So it is an opportune moment to actually stay behind and relax. To be on the road at that time under such scorching conditions is very, very difficult. Anyway, certain people started saying, no, it's too hot. Allah revealed verses of Quran in Surah Tawbah. قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّى. Tell them, the fire of Jahannam is even more hot. Some uttered that we don't want to go to these Roman regions because be affected by these, the woman there. Allah says, Allah fil fitnati saqatu. This is fitna that they have fallen into already, that they're just making excuses and they don't want to go for Allah Ta'ala's sake and for Allah Ta'ala's deen. Anyway, everyone was instructed to depart in the way of Allah Ta'ala. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu reports, he says, I never missed an expedition except Badr. I was there for Aqaba. He says Aqaba was as valuable as Badr, but it's just that Badr is very, very famous. So he is presenting the importance of Aqaba there. He says, but I also lost out on the opportunity of Tabuk. He says, the reason was nothing but the fact that I was doing so well at that time. I had actually had two conveyances. حَتَّى جَمَعْتُهُمَا فِي تِلْغَ الْغَزْوَى. At the time of Tabuk, I was doing very, very well. Generally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go towards a certain direction, but he wouldn't expose his destination to anyone, because there would be munafiqeen around who were ready and eavesdropping and spreading false rumors. So if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this task was going towards a certain direction, he would ask about the conditions of another direction. Except on this occasion, Tabuk, because the journey was so far and the conditions were so tough, so that we could prepare properly. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu says, we were so many, even the Diwan could not accumulate our names. Meaning generally, what this means is, our names would be documented as we come out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. So we learn from here, it's also part of the practice and the sunnah to write down the names. But on this occasion, they could not write down the names because they were too many. What was their number? 30,000. Anyway, Ka'ab radiallahu anhu says, my plan was, I will catch up with them because I'm doing so well, my conveyances are fast, they're traveling with such a big army, and they will have to stop at certain points, and I would be able to cover up much more of the distance in a shorter span of time. Now there's beautiful events that took place on the journey, en route, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going. It's reported in Sahih Muslim. He stops at a certain farm, and he speaks to the lady in charge there, saying to her that I want to purchase all the dates. Now just imagine you traveling and you would buy something from the store for your family, for your children. You know, couple of this, couple of that. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is arranging for all the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So he says, I'm buying all these dates. But I know you want to, you know, evaluate them, because Islamically you have to know how much, how many kilos, how much you are purchasing. So the amount is this, but anyway, you can, you know, pluck it and accumulate it, and then weigh it and measure it and give me back rice. But I'm already telling you this is the amount. And subhanallah, when she had removed everything and so forth, by the time the Muslims came back, it was exactly the amount Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her. So what was on the trees of her farm, exactly as estimated by Rasulullah, uttered by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was exactly that amount. This is the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So beautiful incidents like this took place, where they get there, you know, they get to a certain point. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say to Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, continue traveling in groups, don't go alone. And those who would disobey, there was an occasion where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned them of a cyclone, you know, and said, don't go alone. They get there, and the wind blows those who went alone, and it blew two of them far off, you know, like that. And there was one occasion where there was no water. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam miraculously, with the help of Allah Ta'ala, arranged for them water. As they were traveling, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave da'wat. And this was always. Now he sent Dihya Kalbi radiallahu anhu to Rome to meet Hiraql, to invite him to Allah Ta'ala again. And he sent a letter to Hiraql again. And this time, Hiraql took effect as he was affected the first time. But he says to this Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, that how do I accept? Are people going to listen to me? I want to accept. But he sent a message with Dihya radiallahu anhu that tell Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I'm accepting. This beautiful report that happened at that time, where he says to Dihya radiallahu anhu that okay, people respect the senior priest, someone like the Pope, more than me. Go to him. So the Sahabi goes with the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the senior priest, the Pope at that time. He sees Allah's Nabi's letter. He says, this is the truth. I am accepting this. Dughatir was his name. He accepted. Now there's reports to explain that he didn't come out that first Sunday to explain to the people. Then afterwards, a week or two later, he comes out to present to them the message, and he speaks the truth to them. He says that the final Nabi of Allah, whom I warned you of, I informed you of, has come. This is him. And they all rallied around him. He was dressed in sunnat libas, in white, not like the normal black and so forth. And they all killed him. Anyway, Dihya radiallahu anhu returns to Hiraql, and he informs him of what had happened. Hiraql says, now see, you want me to portray to them, and if they killed him, what they'll do to me? Anyway, there's few reports of what happened there, but this shows Allah's Nabi's importance, that give the message of deen to every person. And also, Dihya radiallahu anhu returns to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was based at Tabuk at that time. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was camped there for quite a few days, and he was sending Sahaba out to message, to spread the message of Allah Ta'ala's deen. Allah give us tawfiq, wherever we travel in the world, spread the word of Allah, spread the kalam of Allah, spread the deen of Allah Ta'ala. This is a great responsibility that we as Muslims have on our shoulders. Among the interesting incidents of Tabuk is a report by Sa'id bin Abi Rashid rahimahullah, who said, I met a man at Tannukhi. This Tannukhi is an elderly person from this Tanukh tribe. He was the envoy of Hiraql to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Sa'id rahimahullah said, I met him when he was a very old man. So I come to him as a student. I said to him, please inform me of Hiraql's letter to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Rasulullah's letter to Hiraql. He said, indeed, surely. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to Tabuk, and he sent Dihya al-Kalbi radiallahu anhu to Hiraql. When Rasulullah's letter arrived to Hiraql, Hiraql called all his bishops, his priests, and the seniors of their religion, and they closed their hall, and he spoke to them. He said to them, that this man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, invites me to his way, that I should follow Islam, I should embrace Islam, or else I should pay the jizya, the taxes, or it's an ultimatum of war. And Hiraql then speaks to them to say that, you know, that the description of my lands being taken away is documented in our books, and this is the map. All of them refuted the statement of Hiraql, and they started screaming at him, that you want us to leave our way, leave Christianity, and follow this Bedouin from the desert? And then Hiraql realized that these would come out from his court
you know, destroying the mindset of the others as well against their king. So he then made some excuse to say, no, I was just testing your firmness on your faith. But then he realized that they're not prepared to embrace or change. So he ended off the meeting. Then he asked one of the Arab governors of one of the Arab regions. There were Christian Arabs living in certain regions under Hiraqal's rule. He called one of them, that please give me an envoy who is good in the Arabic language and who is attentive. So this man, Tanukhi, says, I was then called. And Hiraqal handed over a letter to me. He says, go to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and remember, be alert, watch everything, hear what he has to say, and come back and dictate it to me. Repeat to me exactly as you went. And take note, when you are in his company, will he mention his letter? And take note, does he mention the night? And also see anything doubtful and so forth and so forth. And also try and see what's on his back and come back to describe it to me. He says, I travel to Tabuk, I come there where Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum near one pond, and I asked them, who is the leader? So they showed me, this is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I approached him, I presented the letter to him, he put it on his lap, and he first spoke to me, mimman ant, where are you from, who are you? So I said, I am from the Tanukh tribe, a Yemeni tribe. Then he says to me, don't you want to follow the truth? هَلَّكَ فِي الْحَنِيفِيَّةِ, that deen, that way of life, wherein you have a direct relationship with Allah, where you turn away from all falsehood and turn your direction completely, totally to Allah, and that is the way of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So he invited me to Allah. So I said to him, I'm an envoy of a people. I've come with a certain task. I cannot change until I return to them. In that, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the verse of the Quran, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. Where Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can't just guide who you love to guide. Allah is the one that guides who He wants to give hidayat to. And Allah knows those who are worthy of hidayat. In that, Allah's Nabi said, O my brother from the Tanukh tribe, Ya Akha Tanukh. So we see the respect a newcomer is given in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the respect that is shown to an envoy, an emissary. One lesson we learn, when people come into our company, let's show them Allah's deen. Let's show them iman. Let's show them deen. It's Ramadan. Some of our non-Muslim friends, invite them for some iftar. Invite them to the masjid to view the beautiful environment, the deen, the amal. It's something really, it's beautiful, and Ramadan is an opportunity to share Allah Ta'ala's deen. Just the other day, a friend of mine was coming from, you know, visiting the prisons, and he's passing this area, Madadeni, and he noticed how the Christians are working in the areas with people, convincing them, calling them to Christianity. It wasn't a few years ago, I remember meeting these brothers or these people going house to house, Christians inviting people. So I stopped, met them, I invited them home, I made the ikram, invited them to Islam, spoke to them about our belief on Isa alayhi salam. It was the time of Salah, they came with me to the masjid. Then it was Ramadan, I invited them on the occasion of the Khatam of the Quran. So take these opportunities to bring them into the environment, and Allah will give them hidayah. Then we have to make dua for them. Anyway, in this, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gave me reports of certain kings he sent letters to, and when they disrespected his letters, what was the outcome? And then he said, but your king showed respect to my letter, and that will be strength for his kingdom as long as he lives. O madama fil aishi khair, as long as there's good to live in life, meaning as long as he respects and holds on to Rasulullah's letter, there's good in it. So this man, this emissary, is saying to himself that I then realized that this is the first point I was supposed to notify, that he mentioned the letter. I just noted it on my quiver. I wrote it down on a piece of skin. And then he handed over the letter to a man on his left. So I asked, who's this man reading the letter to the messenger? So they told me his name is Muawiyah. And in that, Nabi ﷺ spoke further and further. And in that, he mentioned the night and so forth. So anyway, I jotted that down as well, because I was told to just take note of that. And then Allah's Nabi said to me, after he read the letter, that you know, you are a guest, you are a traveler, you are an emissary, and if I had something of value as a gift, I would have given it to you. But it's just that we are also on journey and we are travelers. Anyway, one Sahabi who was sitting not far from there said, O Nabi of Allah, if you permit me, I would like to give him a gift on your behalf. He goes and he brings from his bag something. It was like a kind of shawl with some decoration. Anyway, he put it onto my lap. So I asked afterwards, who was the one who gave me that beautiful garment, you know? Hullah. So I was told, informed that that is Uthman radiallahu anhu. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Sahaba, who would entertain this guest? So the report says, one youngster from the Ansar, he said, I am ready, O Nabi of Allah. So some of the Ansar got up with him and he went along, you know, to reside with them under their care. And in that, as I was leaving, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me. So I returned to him. So he said to me that, look, he removed his kurta and he said, look what see what you want to see on my back. So he opened his back and I saw the seal of prophethood on his back. Meaning, how he knew that Hiraqal sent this emissary to see that, but Allah Ta'ala informed him. So this was one of the interesting incidents that took place at Tabuk itself. This beautiful ahadith and incidents, other incidents also that happened there, like they passed the lands of Thamud and the lands of destroyed nations, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cried and said to Sahaba, pass here quickly, don't utilize the water from anywhere. And there's amazing advices Rasulullah gave Sahaba radiallahu anhu, their beautiful khutbas that's documented in Hayatul Sahaba. It's quite interesting. Anyway, in this, what happens to Ka'ab radiallahu anhu? Now Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is going through a lot of trouble because he is worried, because as he is planning to depart and he just started delaying, and then he realized it's too late. And the hadith says, Ka'ab radiallahu anhu says, that at Tabuk itself, Allah's Nabi asked, where is Ka'ab bin Malik? So an Ansari answered, O Nabi of Allah, you know, now he got too much of wealth, and habasahu burdahu, you know, his clothing now, and his surroundings, meaning he's doing well in his business, and that's keeping him back. Anyway, we learn a lesson. Allah give us tawfiq. This was not the condition of Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, but we learn a lesson from there. If Allah gives us, when Allah enhances us in wealth or in any aspect, we should turn to Allah more. Anyway, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu defended Ka'ab radiallahu anhu in his absence, saying that, no, O Nabi of Allah, we know Ka'ab to be a good man. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu said, but Allah's Nabi remained silent. Anyway, now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is returning. And I am worried, because every person I see in Medina are only the hypocrites. There's no man of substance. There were hypocrites only in Medina Munawwara. The one person who was in Medina Munawwara was Ali radiallahu anhu, who was appointed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do some work for him in Medina Munawwara. And he didn't want to stay. It was on the insistence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why he remained. Besides that, there were only munafiqeen. And in that, I was so worried. Allah's Nabi is returning. What am I going to tell him? And I'm thinking to myself, I have the gift of the gab. My tongue is I'm so sharp with my tongue. I can come out of this situation easily. I can just tell him a couple of things. But then I realized, that's not going to help me in the court of Allah Ta'ala. I have to be sincere. I have to speak the truth. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finally returned after this journey of 50 days. 20 days going, 20 days coming. That's how far that was the distance. And the remainder of the period in the lands of Tabuk, spreading Allah Ta'ala's deen, striving in Allah's way, calling to Allah Ta'ala. Allah's Nabi returns and goes straight to the masjid. The different people come to visit him.
while coming back. The munafiqeen came giving their stories, giving their reasons. يَعْتَذِرُونَ إِلَيْكُمْ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ. They'll make excuses when you return to them, O Nabi of Allah. قُلْ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا. Tell them, O Nabi of Allah, don't make all your excuses. It's all false and it's incorrect. Anyway, in that, Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he says, I come there. I sit in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he asked me, what happened to you? So I said, O Nabi of Allah, if I had to sit before anybody else, I could come out of the situation, the tense, tight situation, with some story or the other. But O Nabi of Allah, in front of you, I cannot make any story. Allah will inform you. O Nabi of Allah, I had no excuse at all. No excuse whatsoever. I was doing well. And it was completely my fault that I didn't come out. Anyway, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this man has spoken the truth. And he said, go. And then I asked after that, who else faced a similar situation like mine? Because my people came to me after that rebuking me. Why didn't you become like the others? They just asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to seek forgiveness for them and gave the excuses. You could have come out from the excuse in the same manner. I said, no, I can't. But anyway, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instructed that no one must speak to me. So I asked, is there anybody in a similar situation like mine? The munafiqeen were left normal. But the sincere sahaba had went through this difficulty. So I found out that there were two others. Ka'ab bin Malik was one who we're talking about. The other was Murara bin Rabi' radiallahu anhum. And the third is Hilal bin Umayyah radiallahu anhum. Now these three sahaba, Allah's Nabi said no one must even speak to them. Now Ka'ab radiallahu anhu describes what happens here.